Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review, your weekly dose of good cigars and the good news. This podcast is brought to you by St. John Vianney Catholic Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Incensing the temple today, Father Scott Mansfield, pastor and former rock radio DJ, Tony Willimitis, the guy who knows everything, and Will Tapia, the guy who thinks he knows everything. Now, here's your host, Father Scott.
Just lighten up, bro.
How is it?
So far, so good. That was the first of the, the puffs. The first of many puffs.
Looks like a My Father's cigar.
Actually, it's not. It's a La Gloria Cubana.
Oh, there you go. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, and we'll get to this in a little while.
Yeah.
All right, so welcome to Holy Smokes Catholic Review. Father Scott, I'm your host, along with Tony Willimitis. And absent today is the other guy. That other dude.
What?
That other dude.
How come I feel like we've done several of these episodes with Will in absentia.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Either because he's in Europe.
Right. There was the Spain thing.
Or he's at a brew pub.
And that's kind of an every other day thing.
In this case, he's got another job. He's got two jobs now. So
doing other work.
Yeah. So he's at his other job.
I know how that feels.
Yeah. And
he's doing some other work, and that's why he can't be here today.
Yeah.
Well, we miss him.
I don't.
We'll have plenty of opportunity to abuse him.
I don't miss
him. In his absence. Yeah. If you're not here to defend yourself, you know.
You lose.
You lose, man.
So let's take the opportunity to trash it.
No. I don't think that's probably a good thing to do. Since Lent is coming, we have to be starting to get ourselves in line with our good Lenten practices. Maybe trashing his character and his name may not be such a good thing.
No, but we'll leave that up to the listeners. We do it before Lent, and then we repent.
We can repent of it later.
Go to confession on Tuesday night. And
I feel like that's what they call presumption of the Holy Spirit.
That could be. Could be.
You know, when you sin with the intention that, with the idea, oh, well, I'll just be forgiven. That's right. Presuming upon the Holy Spirit. Presuming that His grace will be there to forgive you. Which, of course, is is quite a serious sin.
Well, we all love William.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to trash him at this time.
Not this time.
We will at least wait till he's here to defend himself.
Yeah. I feel like that's a fair fight.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a fair fight.
So is it going to rain today?
Yeah, we've got some really curious. We're just now in the springtime. This is actually the root of the word Lent is relating to the spring, right? And the time of spring, the time of the 40 days that usher in late spring and then eventually summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it spring yet? It's not spring yet.
Not quite yet. March 21st, I think.
Okay, but you know it's this weekend? You know what's happening this weekend? Okay, in 2 days.
2 days is Ash Wednesday.
Ash Wednesday.
That's right. That means tomorrow is Mardi Gras.
That's right.
And right now in New Orleans, they're celebrating Mardi Gras. There's king cakes and lots of things happening.
Father Marshall and I are going to celebrate Mardi Gras golf.
Mardi Gras.
Mardi
Gras.
Mardi
Golf.
Why is that guy so hard to say?
Who is this Mardi Golf guy, you guys?
Mardi Golf. Is it Mardi? It's Mardi.
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 Mardi. It's Mardi French. Mardi Gras.
Yeah, so we're gonna have Mardi Golf, and that's how we're gonna usher in the season.
In fact, you're gonna actually have Mercoledì Golf, and I'll explain why. Because Mardi means Tuesday, Gras is fat, so Mardi Gras is Fat Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Mardi Golf would be Golf Tuesday, but you're not doing Golf Tuesday.
Yeah, we are.
Then you are doing Mardi Golf.
That's right.
I stand corrected.
We're playing golf tomorrow.
Good for you.
And then Ash Wednesday. Okay. And then let's see. Oh, this weekend, the time change.
That's already. Right. Daylight savings.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive. Yeah. We've got to be careful about that or else everybody be showing up for mass around the homily. Mm-hmm. That's usually what happens. People come in.
That's usually when they leave. Wow. That's when they leave. Right. Now they'll be showing up during the homily. Normally they leave during the homily.
That's right. This is the 1 week where the 1 week where they'll be actually showing up during the homily at the time of the homily instead of going away by accident, as it were.
So how is? Oh, and I'm the other day. By the way, it's been it's spring now, and it's been in the 60s.
It has been.
And so on Wednesday, last Wednesday, it was 60, I think, 3 or something, and. It was so perfect, and we were out there. We didn't even have to wear sweatshirts. It was so warm. The sun's beating down. In the meantime, you, Tony Willemitis, you were an hour away up in the mountains snow skiing. And that's what I love about the state of New Mexico. Yep. You can play golf, and you can see the mountain, where you're from the golf course.
Where I'm hanging out on
the
skis.
On the skis, I'm down below playing golf.
Absolutely, and you're sunny and dry. And they always say
and mad, angry, throwing clubs, right.
We don't throw our skis around because when you're skiing, you're just happy. Mm. If you're in the mountains, you're happy. That's what I'm
discovering. What if you're crashing?
Bad day on the mountain is a good day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Any day in the mountains is a good day, in my opinion. Well, it's been beautiful. We just had 30 inches of snow last Saturday. Not this past Saturday, but a week ago. In one day. And, man, I'll tell you what, like the powder snow was just like splashing you in the body as you're skiing down, and it snarled traffic, of course. It was crazy, but it's really good because it's good skiing. But then also, we know here in New Mexico that any snow and precipitation we get in the winter shows up as green vegetation in the spring and summer.
Yes, sir.
Which we love because it cuts down on fires, and it also just greens up the desert, and it provides more good everything. For the environment, right? So for the bioenvironment, like the animals have something to eat and so forth and so on. So
it's amazing in the summertime, right? The early summertime, and our monsoon season begins June, July.
Right. Yep.
So it could be dry and the desert is brown, and all it takes is one rain.
Yeah.
And the desert turns green.
It's unbelievable. It
really is cool.
It really soaks it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. And then not only that, but then, farmers, ranchers, they all benefit from it. And then we eventually benefit from it as humans, too. Mm-hmm. It's just a good thing. So, snow's still up there. And we're still actually Ski Santa Fe will be open until April 7th per the contract. I think it's a contract with the National Forest or something like that. Anyway, we got to shut down in April. There'll probably be still some snow in the mountains.
But we got Santa Fe Baldy, I bet probably till July we'll have snow on it.
Yeah. Yeah, this year especially. It's good.
Yeah. What was it? 120 inches maybe of snow or something like one? Because the total mountain
snowfall.
Here.
Yeah, total snowfall is 205 inches.
Are you kidding?
For the year. And then we're sitting on top of 80 inches of base snow, meaning like the snow that's underneath the snow you're skiing on is 80 inches deep.
Because this mountain here, really the Sandia, has the amount is 10 feet of snow, 10 feet of snow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, 120 inches. Yeah, not 110 feet, but
no. What did I say?
120 inches.
Yeah. I didn't say feet, did I?
At first, you did.
Well, I said no, 10 feet.
Yeah, 10 feet of snow is.
I said 9 to 10 feet.
10 times 12 is 120. So 120 inches sounds about right. That's
okay
for the total for the snow total. Yeah,
same for the year. Great.
Yeah, the weather's just been really good. It's a true El Nino winter. You know, we'll take it. We will take it.
Heck yeah, man. All right. So what else is going on in your life?
Well, let's see. Lots of good things up on the mountain, and then lots of good things down here at the parish as we get prepared to prepare ourselves for the holy season of Easter through mm-hmm. the holy season of Lent. Mm-hmm. We've organized our spiritual talks, our Friday night talks, which are going to coincide with our Stations of the Cross every week. And those are all going to be geared, as we've decided, on spiritual warfare.
I tell you, that devotion, Stations of the Cross, one of the most beautiful devotions a person could ever do.
Yeah.
You know
where that came from? St. Francis, who also is responsible in a huge part, especially in Italy, for cultivating a devotion to the nativity scene or the creche. Presepio in Italian. And so in a very like manner, after St. Francis visited the Holy Land and walked the path of Jesus, the Via Dolorosa, right. In the city of Jerusalem, he wanted to have his parishioners and the people that couldn't ever make a pilgrimage like that to the Holy Land, he wanted them to have an experience like it. And so he began cultivating Stations of the Cross devotion within the local parishes of Italy, of Assisi, et cetera, right? And so then it caught on. And pretty soon now you've got this centuries-old tradition of placing actual physical little stations either inside the church or outside the church so people can spiritually make that pilgrimage with Jesus through his holy steps of his passion and death and ultimately his resurrection. But what a beautiful thing, right? Especially here in this archdiocese, because St. Francis is our patron. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's a special connection to the things that were important to his spiritual life in following Jesus and the way that that has improved our lives. Mm-hmm. We just take it for granted as modern Catholics.
Right.
But, you know, a couple thousand years ago, this would not have been a normal thing. But thanks to St. Francis, it is now.
And, you know, sad that so many people don't take advantage of, offering of this, devotion that we do during the season of Lent, you know, every Friday. And some parishes, they're doing it more than one day a week, you know, like on a Wednesday and a Friday.
Yeah.
And something we should take advantage of because it's so powerful and it's so reflective and it's, you know, meditative. And we really takes you right to the the passion of our Lord. And following the stations, we always ended up, we expose the Blessed Sacrament, have a few moments of adoration, and then have benediction. And we're doing this year, as we do every year, after the stations, there's a meatless meal, and that is followed by a talk. We always have every Lent on Friday at 7 p.m. we have a talk, or it's a study. We call it the Lent Lecture Series. Mm-hmm. And so every year we have a theme, and this year is spiritual warfare. And on the third talk, I'm going to be doing the first two. The third will be a Dan Schneider. Okay. And he's he goes around, he makes the circuit. He is a demonologist. He speaks about, you know, everything from possession to oppression to temptation, and just the works of the evil one and how we're engaged in that battle, and gives great tips of how we can, you know, not only fight, but to be victorious in the Lord over the works of the evil one. So we're looking forward to that. That's going to be actually on April 22nd,
yeah.
his presentation.
That's right. You've got part one and part two on April 8th mm-hmm. and 15th, mm-hmm. Which are going to be awesome talks in themselves. And then Dan, who we've coined Dan, anything from Dan the evil man to Dan the demon man.
Yeah, but Dan the evil man, that would imply that he's evil, but
right.
He's not.
He's
a good.
Not. So
yeah,
and
he's
called Dan the devil, demon man.
Former soldier too, by the way.
No kidding.
Used to fight the enemy, you know that.
Wow.
The enemy.
Actual physical enemy.
Yeah, the physical
of our.
Now
of our
he's
country.
Fighting against the spiritual enemy.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's perfect.
Yeah, and I like then, Dan the demon man,
and then the friars.
And then we get the
and
friars.
And then the friars are coming the last week of April. And they're going to talk about fighting the spiritual battle in your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think, you know, looking around the culture, looking around the news, looking around what's going on locally, globally, I don't think there's a more relevant topic for this Lent than this topic. There's so much battle happening, right?
There
both in each individual soul and then corporately, right?
Right.
And, you know, I remember it reminds me of something that Archbishop Fulton Sheen said once. You know, he said, if you want peace in the world, then accomplish peace in your heart, mm-hmm. in your own heart, mm-hmm. right? The only way that peace in the world will ever mm-hmm. be accomplished is by each individual accomplishing peace in their own heart. And that's a battle, he says. Like, that is a battle you have to fight, and right. you have to win. And of course, you can only win it with the power of Jesus.
Right. And most people, and this is a sad thing, and a lot of Catholics, most people don't realize that there's a battle going on and that they are involved, intimately involved.
In. I think you're right. I think that maybe more people understand that there's a battle going on. Less people understand what their role is mm-hmm. and how important their role is. Mm-hmm. And the fact that all of us are counting on them and they on us to fight. Because if we're not fighting, if you're not a part of the, solution, you're part of the problem, right?
That's
right. That old
mm-hmm.
saying. But let me look at the stuff that's going through legislature right now, the kinds of issues that we're facing. It's practically surreal, in my opinion, how profound the battle has become, where we're fighting to allow humans to even be allowed to live in the womb and at the end of their lives with the euthanasia bills and so forth that are taking place. Never mind the confusion over genders. The confusion over human sexuality. I mean, just the confusion over human anthropology, for heaven's sake. How many people now, I think we've talked about this before off air at least, how many people now have confused the priority of a human over another type of creature, like an animal or a plant?
Well, in the state of New Mexico, it's now illegal to, they used to have these, because we have an overpopulation of coyotes. So they would have these coyote hunts, and the purpose was to thin out the coyotes, because the coyotes wreak havoc.
Yeah.
They kill livestock.
Mm-hmm.
They hop fences. They kill people's animals, their pets.
It's true.
They break into chicken coops. They kill chickens. So they would have these hunts. Well, now it's illegal to host these hunts. But you can be a person and get a lay term. Or maybe even a post-birth, depends on where this thing is going, right? Abortion.
AKA infanticide.
Yeah.
I mean, that's straight up baby killing.
Mm-hmm.
And all you're doing is using legislative euphemisms, mm-hmm. legalese, right? Sophistry
right.
to right. rationalize it, to justify
exactly.
it, and to let yourself off the hook.
And by the way, what is the symbol of the devil? What is it? What is his symbol?
Symbol of the devil, of his work.
You know, his. I mean, what is
darkness?
A sign? Well, that too, but
the split tongue of the serpent,
something upside down.
Oh, an upside down cross,
right?
Which, of course, is not to be confused with the martyrdom of Saint Peter. Which
that's
is
right.
Sometimes, but that's a slight nuance that you have to just
now you got me going.
Sorry. So there's a slight nuance here.
Oh, right.
The upside down cross, sometimes when used by Catholics, can symbolize the humble martyrdom of Saint Peter, who
Correct.
Chose to be crucified upside down, not worthy to be crucified as Jesus. However, everything in, in fact, I just saw an article today before we even started podcasting, saw an article about the rise of the cult or Church of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a legitimate thing. Like,
yeah.
they're erecting statues to the devil and a Baphomet and so forth. May he be forever damned.
In conservative places like Oklahoma.
Yeah.
In Alabama and other such conservative places.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's phenomenal. I didn't think that we as Americans would live to see the day when our empire, when our republic would see a rise in paganism, out and out paganism. Tomorrow night, I'll be talking to the RCIA class about the first three commandments, the first of which is a commandment against idolatry. And typically, you know, you have these conversations in a class like that about how idolatry is usually interpreted abstractly, but I mean, anymore, we have to be aware of actual idolatry. Like, there are people who are cultivating a worship of actual idols mm-hmm. in our country in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wacky.
That's whacked.
It's just wacky. We've gotten so flexible. It makes a lot of sense, because if you have a problem understanding metaphysics, which we do, right? We have a problem understanding anthropology, what makes up the human, what makes up the universe, who's in control of the universe, and you understand the priorities of creator and creature. then it's going to be a much easier, because of that confusion, we're going to be have a much easier path into things like idolatry. The fact that someone might begin to think that this inanimate object has some kind of divine spirit to it. You know, it's the same thing that St. Paul was preaching against.
Well, right. And nothing Moses new goes back sun. To the time of Moses, right? With the cow, with the
golden calf. Golden calf. Yeah. And the gods of Egypt and the things that the Egyptians slipped back into, which much makes their journey, the ancient Israelites' journey, so relevant to our own age, because you can see how, you know, they were saved from slavery and the worship of false gods. And then when they grew lazy in their spiritual life, following the one true God, then they fell back into those old sins, the old sins of false worship, right? Worship of false gods. And we kind of, you know, we're susceptible to the same type of temptation, like where we grow lazy in our spiritual life and we start worshiping the false gods in our lives, whether they're actual false gods or just, you know, things that we worship, like, you know,
television,
the technology, yeah.
Internet,
phones,
sports,
cell phones, sports.
There's all kinds of things, all kinds of things. Okay, but I want to go back to the upside down cross thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and the reason I brought this up,
a strong thought about that,
and it's true that you know, the on the back of is it Mary Major or not Mary Major, but St. John Lateran Church is the chair, and in the back, right, it has the upside down cross. Is that chair in? Is it in? Am I right? There's the chair. There's a chair, and there's an upside down cross.
Yeah. And you'll see sometimes this cathedra, as it's called in Latin, but this chair, the chair of the Pope, you'll see sometimes the chair being used in ceremonies.
But there's a cross, upside down cross, carved in the back.
Yep.
And see, non-Catholics who are, well, tend towards fundamentalism will point to that and say, see, it's Satan. It's a sign of Satan.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not. It points to the fact that Peter was crucified upside down.
Yeah.
Okay. However, you know, we often say that, you know, the sign of Satan is an upside down cross. Mm-hmm. And it fits well, because what is Satan's trick is take everything, flip everything upside down on its head to turn what is virtuous and good into evil. And not that he can turn it into evil, but give the appearance of, okay, or take that which is sinful and make it good.
Right.
Okay. So things that are evil, abortion.
Yeah.
Which should be abhorrent to everybody, is now seen as a good and a necessity.
Well, I mean, we've got Hollywood stars who are standing up on stages in public arenas and singing songs and shouting phrases like, yay, abortion.
Right. And then
I mean, it's out of control.
And then something like, you know, premarital sexual, you know, activity, which is a mortal sin. The last time I read my catechism, the last time I read my scriptures, fornication, as we call it, is seen as, you know, that's a good too. You know, it's a necessity, it's freedom. Exactly.
So license has been now termed freedom. And we know from, you know, great orators like St. John Paul II and others, Christopher West, Theology of the Body, etc., that license and freedom have become confused. They're not the same thing. Getting to do whatever you want is not freedom, not true freedom.
Right. But a person who is virtuous, a person who is holy, is seen as weird, not acceptable, you know, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's how it is. That's where we're at today.
Yeah.
Everything's flipped upside down and to the point that we're all confused, which, by the way, just keeps me going back to the Tower of Babel. And that's where we're headed. I mean, we're so confused. Nobody knows. It's like, what's right from wrong anymore? Of course, we know. Holy people know, but most people are just confused and they're just accepting anything and buying into everything.
Sure.
And, you know, it's just a sad thing to see, but that's why I keep saying it's like the building of the Tower of Babel all over again.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Well, I like to call it the Tower of Babel for not just to have a different pronunciation, but actually always think of the word B-A-B-B-L-E.
What we do.
Like babbling.
We babble.
Like what we do on this podcast. Wow. Right.
And a lot of it. But today it's only 2/3 of what it normally is. Right.
I'm sure
The third babbler is not
present. We'll
make
up for it. But, you know, you look at everyone's talking about all the babbling going on, even in our country, right, in America in the 21st century. And it's true. Like, it's all it's leading to is more confusion, right? No matter what side of the politics you're on, it's all leading in the direction of more confusion. Why? Because there's no compass here. There's no moral compass. There's no compass toward the truth. Now, I shouldn't say there isn't any. We can definitely look into the political conversations and find truth, right, inside those conversations. I'm not suggesting it's not to be found at all. But I am saying that because we're so committed to our own opinions, which, you know, I'm reminded are as common as belly buttons, right? Opinions are as common as belly buttons. So it shouldn't be to us to come up with our opinion as much as it is up to us to find the truth, acknowledge it, and then follow it.
And teach it. And defend it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. You know, so, and that's, you know, the objective truth. Because we get ourselves, it's our emotions and our opinions that, and our, what's that word I'm looking, impulsiveness that gets us into trouble.
Yeah.
Because we're going by our feelings and what we may think at the time, which, of course, feelings and thoughts and things change.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we have the moral norm or the moral truth grounds us so that we're solidified. Okay. So That's, you know, and it keeps us, and that's what keeps us in peace is when we're all unified in thought and practice.
Right. And not to mention when we acknowledge that we're broken, mm-hmm, and need to be put back together,
right,
and allow ourselves to be put back together in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. We're not insisting upon our brokenness as if it were healthy. Right. And I think that's part of the confusion, right? We've thought, oh, well, this is just the way I am. And that's my measure for healthiness. Well, nothing could be farther from the truth, because we all know from the book of Genesis that humans are broken and need to be put back together. And this is what we celebrate during the high holy season of Lent and especially Holy Week, how Jesus came to put us back together and put us back together the right way so that we could dwell in true holiness and happiness and fulfillment.
But we have to want him and let him do so.
Absolutely.
And right now we're not interested in letting him do so.
No, absolutely not. Like Frank, when you mentioned the emotion part, you know, how many of us mark our emotions as the measure, as if to suggest, well, my emotion toward this truth is negative, therefore I won't follow this truth. As opposed to, my emotions are negative towards this truth, my emotions are broken, I need to fix my emotions so that they coincide with the truth.
Well, and to quench the desire or the temptation to impulsiveness. And that goes back to our original parents, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that, hey, I like that. You know, he's impulsive. Rather than, hey, this just not jiving with the truth. So, right, you know, maybe I shouldn't go there.
Exactly. No, but and that's
impulsive.
That's the root, I think, of what the evil one has as his strategy. Maybe I should use my words.
Strategy. That's a hard one to say, though. Strategy. But it's funny. It's
no, like, I mean, like, that's his
Paschetti,
that's,
you know, sometimes it just comes out wrong.
Not to mention, especially on this podcast. So he has as his number one objective to confuse, right? To cause doubt, right, and confusion.
Right. Right.
And you see that in Genesis chapter 3 when he approached Eve and began the doubt process by asking a question, by putting a question in her mind. Did God really tell you not to eat the fruit of the tree? And then from that point forward, she just gets more and more confused until she falls. And then Adam falls too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we can kind of see the genesis literally and figuratively here of sin and of our own confusion.
Exactly. And by the way, that that fall, you know, that sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, we call it the sin of Adam. And why?
Well, because Adam was in charge.
That's right. It was his responsibility.
Yeah. Even as the story goes, if Eve was the first to fall, it was still Adam's responsibility to be there to defend and to protect and to see to it that didn't happen.
Okay. Well, very good. Now, speaking of responsibility, is our responsibility to smoke cigars and to pass the information on to you.
Yeah. It's a very important responsibility. We take it very seriously.
Very big, very important responsibility. So I have been smoking for the past, let's see, I lit up 28 minutes ago. So the La Gloria Cubana, Serie R. It doesn't say series. It says Siri.
Yeah. I think it's Spanish. And it's Cidier? Like Cidier.
Okay. Yeah. R. Okay. So paid $10 for this stick. That's about a what? 4 ring gauge, I'm guessing. 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And dark. Very dark. See yeah. the skin. So the minute I lit it, immediately the skin, and this is not the smoke part, but just the taste from the wrapper is very sweet.
Hmm.
Not like a flavored cigar sweet, yeah. but just sweet and
yeah,
very,
God forbid. Very, that would be terrible.
That would not be good.
Yeah. Sweetened cigars are, really,
they're horrific.
They're the worst.
The worst. That's why I'll never smoke or review an acid.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
I hate to say we are a bit anti-acid here.
Ugh, those are just terrible. That's that flavored, what is
it's
that?
It's just
the like flavored coffee.
It's
come
the
on.
Fat version.
Flavored coffee.
The fat version of a Swisher sweet.
Yeah, right. And then too, it's like the flavored Coca-Cola, the cherry Coca-Cola. No, just leave Coke alone.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plain. I'll drink, if I want cherries, I'll drink cherry juice. But don't mix the two. No. I mean, come on. Okay, so
this
any
cigar,
case,
however, is not that.
It's not that, but it's got a sweet, oily taste to it. So it's burning. You can see it's burning pretty even.
It is.
However, I've had to light it again like 3 times already. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I'm not sure about that. But and it's not from, you know, I am smoking it, so I'm not letting it go out. It just... So any case, it's not bad. Would I buy it again? I'd smoke it again if somebody gave it to me. Would I buy it? Being that there's a box of Patrons, like 3 boxes down, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going for the Patrons. So this, yeah, it's not bad. I mean, you know, but it's okay. But I know other people who love these, and that's just my opinion. Again, that's an opinion. It's not
sure.
objective moral truth, right?
No.
So this is... yeah. So any case, yeah, not bad.
Awesome. Well, good for you for trying something different.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're not giving up cigars for Lent this year.
Mm-mm. No.
You might minimize how many you smoke.
Well, but that I'm going to do. I might just decide to smoke maybe one a day, one every other day, maybe just once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Do that. That might be good. Just smoke one when we do the podcast. I don't know yet. I haven't decided. Now, when I was a kid, of course, you know, you're a kid, you give up the cookies, and it's not because you give them up. It's mother makes you make them give them up, or your mom, you know, tells you, you have to give them up.
Right.
Right. So, but it'd be funny because give up cookies, but you didn't give up the cake.
Right. Yeah. So you have to be very specific.
Yeah. Right.
And make concessions.
Right. Well, so, but now it's like, well, you know, and I've given up TV. I've given up, coffee, very difficult to give up coffee. I get headaches and
that's
the whole bit.
A little tricky.
I've given these up. I've given up cigars before. I've given up different things. I've taken up other things. And I decided what I'm going to attempt to give up has to do with the gospel we're going to be reading here in a little while. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear
so
about
what are you
that.
Smoking? What are you
I'm actually smoking a, which I have never smoked before, a Liga Privada T52. It's a Robusto. Again, it's like a, you know, it's about 4.5-5 inches long with like a 45 ring gauge or something like that. And so very similar in size to yours and also a dark oily wrapper. But I remember, I think this was the one that you said you had smoked,
no,
with different. Marshall, Father Marshall.
The ones we smoked with Father Marshall in Denver.
Yeah.
Were an Evergreen up at Paul Yarborough's house, much smaller than those.
Okay. So you like smoked the Coronetto.
Yeah, they're a little,
like
little, but they're so expensive.
Well, this Liga Privada Robusto is quite flavorful and a bit buttery, just like you had mentioned before. A fuller smoke. The website mentions leather and even orange peel, which I could kind of get, but I don't have that refined palate of our absent brother, Will.
Who makes
it? He makes it up.
He makes it up. Come on.
Or he's got the most exquisite palate memory.
Yeah, right.
Where he can make connections between what he's smoking and what he's eaten or tasted or drank.
It's an oaky smoke with a hint of cinnamon.
I've never had those thoughts go through my head
with
when I smoke a
molasses
cigar.
Aftertaste. I mean, come on. What? What?
This is officially an,
have you
a will.
Ever smoked, unless you're smoking an acid and you can taste
right.
like, you
well,
know,
that, that's the, yeah,
you can
that.
Taste candy cane or you can taste like right. cotton candy. These, really?
Yeah.
Come
no,
on.
I agree.
What? Either they taste like a cigar or they don't taste like a cigar.
I mean, occasionally I'll get hints of leather and maybe like a cedar or something like that. But those are, I'm pretty limited in my repertoire of flavor notes and recognitions. But all the same, it's a good mild cigar. I mean, it's a dark wrapper, but it's smoking pretty. I mean, it's a full flavor, but not spicy or anything like really strong like that. So it's good. T52 Liga Privada.
Let's see if he has any comments. And this will how we'll know if he listens to this podcast.
Right. When he comes back and says, hey, by the way, what you guys said about me.
Yeah. Let's see.
When you were roasting me.
If he doesn't say anything, it tells us that he doesn't listen to his own podcast.
Well, I try not to.
I have to because I have to edit.
You do all the editing.
So I have no choice
in that role, bro.
No, but you know, it's kind of fun to because we do this, right? So some nights after it's posted, I'll throw the headphones on and smoke a cigar and listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and this is a great opportunity for us to just, you know, delve into different smokes that we wouldn't have tried and kind of share the results. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that benefits people who do occasionally smoke or try smoke a cigar. In fact, one of the ones I knew I reviewed early on in this podcast series, somebody tried it out, said they liked it. So it's good to know there's a little bit of a benefit from sharing the information. And of course, we always love it when listeners share their information with us. That's helps us too. We don't have like the corner on all the cigars out there. So if you're smoking cigars, you like something and you haven't heard us talk about it, probably means we haven't smoked it. So yeah, let us know, man. We'd love to try something you like, as long as it's not an acid.
That's right. And we need more online reviews.
That would help. Know,
from the Google thing.
Yeah, that would help.
Okay, I have no game show today. Just lazy. No game show. Yeah, no tune. Well, no tune. I haven't done a tune. I'm working on a tune. I got a tune in my head.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I already know what I'm going to do with it. I'm just too... I got to put it together, and I'm a little lazy.
No worries.
Well, so, no game show, no tune. But I do have a gospel.
Gospel's good.
From this weekend.
This is the last weekend before Lent, and we'll be into a whole series of Sundays of Lent here coming up. And, of course, there'll be a lot of... Gospels having to do with Jesus and his desert experience, his ministry experience, his baptism, etc. But we're going to talk about something else before that in this Sunday's gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like this Sunday's gospel and the readings were pretty straightforward, challenging, but pretty straightforward.
Okay, here we go. So this is Luke 6, 39 through 45. Okay. Jesus told us from the, eighth Sunday of ordinary time. This coming Sunday, of course, will be the first Sunday of Lent. So Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher. But when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good, but an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's a great last line. Yeah. And by the way, fits in with...
You could have read that by itself.
And sat down. Okay, but I just want to point this out too. This is that was the last line about the mouth speaks, you know, from what's in the heart. So the first reading is taken from Sirach. Here's the first line of it, okay? When a sieve is shaken, the husk appears, so do one's faults when one speaks.
Ooh. Wow.
Right?
No wonder the ancient practice in many monasteries of silence. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I think the monasteries understand it best.
How many times has your mouth gotten you into trouble?
Or have you just felt dumb for saying anything, you know?
Right. God, why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? Right. And what's funny is we keep doing it.
Yeah.
We keep doing it.
Right. There must be, I mean, there is some impetus for humans to communicate vocally, verbally.
And the beauty on this podcast, we can edit out stuff.
This is true.
It's like, why did you say that?
Right.
Live, just cut it out.
Live broadcast is much more difficult in that regard. But I think it's, if anything, it should, just those lines alone mm-hmm. are a challenge for us to be careful about our speech and to allow her, maybe a challenge, you know, if we're not used to it, to listen more than we're speaking.
Right.
And this, I mean, this could go a long way. If everyone took this up, right, in the world, in our country, you know, to for all of us to listen more, listen to from anything, you know, from those conversations you're having in the public realm, conversations you're having with coworkers, and even at home.
Well, here's one.
You know, your loved ones.
Here's
just
one.
Listen more.
Well, here's one. Here, how many mouths did God give you?
One.
How many ears did he give you?
Two. Should be listening twice as much as we're speaking.
There you go.
Yeah.
So this reminds me of what Jesus said about, it's not what goes into the person that defiles him. It's what comes out of the person.
Mm.
Crude language, you know, hateful speech, so on. Right. So, yeah. And it's true. What comes out of the mouth is a manifestation of what's inside.
Mm.
So if there's evil in the heart, if there's hatred in the heart, if there's, you know, filth in the heart, mm-hmm. then that comes out through the mouth and it's, you know, plain for everyone can see it,
yeah.
you know,
or hear it.
I mean, yeah. Right.
For that matter, yeah.
Recognize it, I should say, by mm-hmm. hearing it. Right. If there's goodness in the heart, there's love in the heart, there's generosity in the heart, there's compassion in the heart, it comes out
mm.
and people can recognize it when they hear it. So, you know, this mouthpiece is the, you know, it's through which all that is in the heart comes out for all to recognize mm. and to see and to hear.
It ties well with the first part of the gospel where it mentions that a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit, right? Mm. I mean, and I've always loved that line because it, again, in a similar fashion, you see what's in someone's heart by what kind of actions they have, you know? Don't tell me how much of a this or that you are. Just show me.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yep.
Yeah, you don't need to talk to me about it. Just show me and let your actions stand for themselves. If you find yourself justifying this, that, or the other in your own life, then maybe you're not quite convinced yet that you are a this or that, right?
Because maybe you're not.
Maybe you're not all that bad a bag of chips, right?
Mm-hmm.
And praise God, none of us are. This is why we're all in need of a Savior. So join the club. Jump in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in this journey together. You know, the only qualification you need to be in the boat is just that you acknowledge that you're like everyone else. Mm-hmm. You're a fallen sinner, right, mm-hmm. in need of help. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love that line because then it challenges us to be more about our actions, mm-hmm. you know, and less about our good intentions.
So Father Liptak, well, actually Monsignor Liptak, he was Father Liptak when I was in the seminary. After I left, he became Monsignor, but, you know, we had him he was a brilliant professor. I think he passed away, but he would overhear, you know, the seminarians talking, us seminarians.
Yeah, I can't imagine. He must have gotten an earful.
But he said one time to us, he looked at us and he said, you know, boys, sloppy speech is a sign of sloppy thinking.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
wow.
St. Thomas Aquinas was known as the dumb ox.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Amongst his confreres, because he spoke very slowly, deliberately
and very
seldomly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because he was thinking and making sure. Right. He was making sure that what he did say was not going to be wrong. Right. Or false. So what little he did say had to have been, you know, most of the time we just presume because he's a saint, probably true. But he didn't speak a lot. You know, and people thought, well, gosh, it takes that long for them to come up with a thought or come up with a phrase or a statement. This guy must not be very bright. And then, of course, you know, post-mortem, we have all these volumes of things he wrote.
And he was brilliant.
And he was absolutely genius.
But it's usually guys like us or me who speak right away.
Oh, sure.
We're the dumb oxes, you know, let's be honest, right?
Yeah. So we're the dumb bellowing oxes who bellow a lot, right? Belly ache, and so forth. Yeah, so this is a great challenge to make sure that we, if we want to be a good tree, we have to be fertilized well, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to be watered well. And so attachment to the sacraments is all important, to receive grace from confession, to receive grace from Holy Communion, to receive grace from the Mass, to receive grace from our prayer life, from the reading of Holy Scripture. And our roots, if they're tapped into, you know, Jesus Christ, then we can begin to bear good fruit because but if we're nourished well.
But if we're rooted in the world,
we'll dry up.
In a sinful world, we'll dry up.
The fruit will be poisonous. The fruit will be,
That's right.
Not
so
good.
Now, going back to the reading, there are three things I think that, and I forget who wrote the article, but I think it was on the Sacred Pages dealing with this particular reading. And the author, who I can't remember now, but any case, he points out that really there's three different things to be gleaned, three different lessons that our Lord is teaching through this particular text. And the first one would be simply this: be a better role model, be a good role model. Okay, so now here's a question, and I brought this up in the sermon, okay? And I'll get to why this affects me in a particular way for the season of Lent, okay? And helps me determine what I want to do for Lent. Okay, so to be a better role model, okay, so if the things I say, and that's a question I have to ask myself, am I helping people? Because my ultimate goal is to get into heaven. My ultimate goal isn't to make money or to have power.
Right.
Because that's here today, gone tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm going to die. It's all going to be taken away anyway.
Yep.
Okay, so my ultimate goal is to get into heaven. And my second goal is to help other people get to heaven. So as a role model, am I helping other people get to heaven if I am speaking the things I should and I'm doing the things I should, then I should be an influence to help people be better people and help people be better Christians.
Yeah.
If, on the other hand, the things that I say and the things that I do actually lead people away from the Lord and into sin, now I'm a tree that's not bearing good fruit and I'm not a good role model. Yeah, follow me?
No, absolutely. Right. And this plays well into our relationships, our intimate relationships in
absolutely.
Our lives. Especially when paired with the middle part of the gospel for this week and the part where Jesus reminds us that we cannot see clearly to pick the speck out of our brother's eye or sister's eye unless we get remove the plank in our own. In other words, we spend, he knows us well, and he knows that our temptation is to spend more time finding faults in others than it is to cleaning up our own faults and being a good example to others. So think about like relational spats that take place, right? Whether that's family members or husband and wife or whatever. Like how often is it the case where the person is wanting that other person to be the role model for them in a selfish way? Almost like saying, here, get rid of your faults so that you can better lead me.
Right.
As opposed to, let me get rid of my faults so I can be a better example to you.
Exactly.
Right? And we spend so much time. It's a great temptation. I'm right there first among sinners in doing this throughout my life. You know, like always like think looking at the faults of others instead of saying to myself, hey, how can I clean my act up so that I can be responsible for this other person? And let me just little side note. A miniature soapbox here. Parents, I can't tell you how critical your role is with your children. It is critical. Like that child has been trusted to you so that you could lead them. Kids aren't born with natural instincts for goodness and holiness and right choices. Like the whole point here is that God is counting on you to be the instruction booklet that they're going to read every single day of their life. So be a good instruction booklet. And that's just my little soapbox as a teacher.
Right? Well, exactly. And parents don't wait for, you know, the teacher to teach your children. Don't wait for the internet to teach your children. You teach your children, because what they're going to learn from maybe even their teachers at school, their secular teachers, maybe from the internet, and certainly from the internet, is going to be something that is not good.
No.
Not good.
Oh, no. I mean, it's gotten... I was reading this thing about Momo. Something like on the internet now that pops up. Some kind of demonic graphic... computer graphic character that's like...
It's like a chicken man or something.
All kinds of just weirdness, but then like leading children into like weirdness and like darkness. It's out of control. I mean, like Satan is lurking and he's amped up his game towards the children, the little ones. So if you're in a role, especially as a parent or as a teacher, anybody else to be that good example, like Father, you're saying, then then step it up, man. Let's all do this together. Let's use this Lent to step up our game, to perfect ourselves, to start removing the planks out of our own eyes so that we can be better examples for others.
Right. And this all ties into the second lesson that is to be learned from this, and that's hypocrisy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I cannot be critical of a person or help a person, you know, or to, you know, convict a person of being, you know, an adulterer or, you know, a thief or, you know, drunk or whatever it is, if I myself am doing those things. Yeah. So I can't do that. So I have to first, if I'm doing the same thing, and I have to fix myself in order to be able then to help my brother overcome his sin.
Yeah. And I don't see Jesus saying in the gospel, I don't see him saying, you know, fix the plank in your own eye because your brother doesn't have any in theirs.
Yeah,
he's acknowledging that we all have planks and specks and so forth. Like, we all have faults. So I don't think he's saying don't acknowledge that there are problems in your brothers and sisters. But if you're acknowledging them, use that as your motivation to work on yourself in the same manner. Like, you know, and make sure you're putting your own fixing as the priority. So he's not saying, okay, you don't, you know, just ignore the fact that people are fallen. He doesn't say that. People are fallen. Acknowledge it. And then use that as your motivation to say, oh, okay, I can see that in them. I'll bet you I've got the same problem, if not more of a problem,
right,
that I need to be working on.
And I need to fix it. And also what you don't hear the Lord say is accept your brother's faults and accept your own.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't say that. Just be happy with, you know, what you have and the way you are. And I love you anyway.
Right.
He's telling us to remove the plank. He didn't say, leave the plank in your eye. It's just how you are. You're only human. Don't worry about it.
You were born this way.
He's saying, remove the plank of wood from your eye. Just like he told Mary of Magdala, go and sin no more.
Yeah.
Repent, reform.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Great connection. Because, that's one of the best, most misinterpreted, you know, most overlooked, I think, moments in scripture where he has this woman who's like the rest of us, completely fallen. And he doesn't say, I love you. It's all good. You know, let's just don't worry. Be happy. Go and sin. Not just like go and try not to sin. Mm-hmm. Go and do a better job. Mm-hmm. But he like puts it in a perfect way. Yeah. Go and sin no more.
Yeah.
Like, just don't sin.
Right.
But that's a pretty high calling.
Or this one, go sin some more. Okay. And I'm the God of mercy. When you're all broken down again, come back. And they want to put you to death again. Come back and I'll take care of you. Okay. Don't worry. I'm a God of mercy. I don't care what you do. You just go and have fun and come back and I'll take care of you. No, go and sin no more.
Yeah. And I imagine another translation of it could be go and never sin again.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You understand the force of that, right? When we hear it in those different words, I think go and never sin again. And with the firmness and sternness with which he must have uttered those words, she must have been probably delightfully challenged. Right. And found herself maybe then finding her way towards a proper understanding of who she was called to be. And I think that's what comes with, you know, the redemptive love of Jesus Christ. It's convicting. It's forgiving. And then it sets us on the right path and lets us know it's hope filled. It lets us know that we're capable, right? We're capable of being something more than just a slouch in the spiritual life.
And she is a saint today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. She's a model. She's somebody to be followed. Mm-hmm. She's an example. She allowed herself, along with Christ's grace, to become an example to others.
Now, the third lesson, by the way, on this teaching, according to the article I read, is so I have the lesson on being a good role model, the lesson on hypocrisy, and then the third lesson is choose your friends well. Okay, so just as I'm called to be a role model, right, to be a good example, I have to choose friends who are going to, and I'm called as a model to lead people to Christ, right, to lead people into good, to inspire people to good, but also I must be fed by people who are good models to me. I have to be, I have to find friends who will actually lead me to Christ, who are not, I have to be careful not to associate with people or get too close to people who are going to lead me away from Christ and lead me into sin, correct? So it's important that I choose my friends wisely. All right. And that's not to say that I must reject or hate or, just keep a very far distance from people who wouldn't do that. I have to love them and respect them. But if I can help them to lead them to Christ. But if their relationship, if I have a relationship with somebody and they're leading me into sin, then I need to get those people out of my life. Just as the Lord said, if your arm causes you to sin, cut it off. Yeah. So if there's somebody in my life who's leading me into sin and leading me away from heaven by leading me away from Christ, then I've got to cut that person out of my life. And this is important, by the way, for our young people, and especially those who are planning to get married. Mm. Be very careful, girls and boys, who you choose, okay, as your mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and if that boy, in the case of a girl, is leading you into sin, leading you away from Christ, maybe that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what comes with that, I think, is just setting a priority, mm-hmm. right? Setting your spiritual life as the priority and setting your goal of heaven as the priority. If you don't have that as your priority, then you're in danger of entering into a relationship that could lead you away from your ultimate goal. You know, set some goals and make that goal your priority over the other goals that you have. And I was just going to ask you, Father, while you were saying that, what happens if somebody wakes up, you know, wakes up today or yesterday or tomorrow and they realize, well, shoot, I'm in a marriage where I feel like my partner is leading me astray. Or I'm in a relationship, yeah, like a committed relationship. Let's start with marriage, because that's like, you know, if you're in some of the relationship that's not a commitment, then you can't do what you're saying. You can cut it off. You can move away from it. You can,
but you're in a situation give yourself where you can't do that.
But let's say you've signed up and God has affirmed you've signed up for this mission, right? And that's what you've done. You're 007, man. This is your mission should you choose to accept it. And therefore, now you are married and this is the person. And I always think of it, you know, we don't think of it usually in this term, but I think it is kind of like a missionary who says, you know, who either gets appointed to a mission land or says to their superior, I'd like to go and bring the gospel to that people. Right. The marriage is like that. Marriage is a mission land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then when you have kids, you've just added to your mission land mm-hmm. a few more souls, and God's expecting you to perform. But what do you do when you're in that situation where you wake up and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize my mission land was going to get like this. I didn't realize it was going to be something where I'm going to feel like the odd man out here or the odd
woman
out.
Well, that goes back, I would think that goes back to what our Lord said about the splinter, right? So take care of yourself, grow in holiness, repent of your own wrongdoings, live the life, and then through your goodness, hopefully your spouse will see the transformation and will want that too.
Right.
Okay, but you cannot reject the person, so you have to love them and love them through whatever it is that they're going through and their disbelief or whatever the case may be, right?
Right.
So you just can't run. You just can't say, well, I've had a conversion, I've decided this, and you're just not the person for me. That's wrong.
Right. Okay. So in an analogous way, or should I say metaphorical?
It's metaphor time on Holy Smokes.
Okay. So in a metaphorical way, you are married to your congregation, depending on which congregation you're pastor of, currently St. John Vianney in Rio Rancho.
Right.
Are there days, inevitably, I'm guessing, are there days where, you know, you go home and you're maybe frustrated over some part of the flock?
Yeah.
How do you process that? Well, you don't say, you clearly, over the last, how many years have you been at St. John?
Well, 15. Whatever.
So over the course of the 15 years, at least at St. John, just taking that one assignment, you've not said, you know what? These people are insolent. They're stubborn. They're not going to get it. I'm out. I'm hightailing.
But that's not
I'm
up
leaving.
To me. And I can only preach the truth.
I mean, you could do it.
No, I preach
you wouldn't
the truth.
Keep
But my
paid,
job
but
is
to
be
to do,
my
do
job
it.
Is to be faithful, not successful, and that takes an operation of the Holy Spirit.
So,
so
like,
ultimately,
there
and I can pray for them because mm-hmm. ultimately they're in the hands of the Lord,
right? And so there's days where you're
sure.
not exactly feeling supported by your quote unquote spouse.
There's days, right?
You're,
exactly.
you're not. You're going home. Sometimes you're like, you know what? I don't feel supported, but I'm not going to not show up tomorrow.
Well, there's a day like maybe a family or some person comes in and with this issue, and I'm like, geez, dude, I just preached on this.
Right.
Are you not paying attention? I just preached on this, and then you go out and got yourself in the same trouble that I was preaching against.
Yeah.
Are you not even paying attention?
Right.
Right? Now, you can't throttle the person. You can't say, get that out of my office. Right. You have to love them and take them where they're at and say, okay, let's try this again. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, a dad trying to teach his kids how to ride bikes.
Yeah.
You know, the kid falls off. All right. What you boot him out, you throw the kid and throw him in his room and then, you know, get rid of the bike after he falls over once or twice. Okay. Let's try this again. Let's try this again.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. Right? I imagine whether it's religious life or matrimony, it is kind of like this long enduring fall down, get up process.
I thought one time, because the parish, you've got very holy people, you've got some mediocre people, and then you've got some people who are, you know, show up once in a blue moon and they're there and they're in it for a while, then they're out and then they're back. And you know what I'm saying? So you got everything. Mm-hmm. So I thought to myself one time, I'm like, man, you know, gee whiz, sometimes dealing with certain people or these people, whatever, it's just trying. So, you know, maybe I should become a monk, but then I would have to deal with a bunch of monks. Yeah. I say, well, you know what? I'll become a hermit.
Okay.
But then you know what? I'm going to have to deal with myself.
Ooh, even scarier.
And that's the worst.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
That would be hard. Because then it's just like you and you.
And yeah.
Mano y mano.
Right. And, you know, there's always this battle going on in my brain.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's everybody, right? That's St. Paul, right? Battle in the heart, you know, flesh.
A spiritual battle.
Right. There you go.
You know what would be great is if we could go to a series of Lenten talks on the spiritual battle.
Well, you can.
What?
Are you going? Yes. Every Friday night at 7 o'clock at St. John Vianney.
How is this possible?
We have Stations of the Cross at 6 o'clock, followed by a meatless meal at 6:30. And then the Lenten talks on spiritual warfare. I'll be doing the first two talks starting the first Friday of Lent.
Yeah.
Then the second Friday of Lent, the third Friday of Lent, which is April 22nd. We have
Dan Demon Man.
Right, he's going to be speaking on spiritual warfare, and then the following week with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal and how to deal with battles just in a daily basis. Right,
that sounds awesome.
Daily life, right?
So couldn't ask for more.
That's right. Okay, so there you have it, and it's time to wrap this up. Did we miss William?
I don't know. Yeah. I felt like his spirit was here, but I don't know that we did. We miss him?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't determined yet. But, anyway, but we'll see him soon enough. And then don't forget, friends, we'd like you to leave us a review, okay? So on the Google, I don't know, you can do it on the, not the Google, you can't,
there's
right?
The, but there's iTunes. The Facebooks or the iTunes.
The iTunes thing, you can, and he's got all that address. I don't know
how
to do
it. The Snapbooks, the Face Chats.
I don't even know the addresses because I don't do all that.
Insta Snaps.
I'm like an old man, so I don't know how to do it.
FaceGrams.
FaceGrams.
Yeah.
Okay, Graham Cracker, Graham FaceGrams.
all that like kind of, I don't, yeah, I don't know.
Nutter butter, peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Social media stuff.
Okay, and then don't forget there's another podcast too called The Catholic Beef, Apologetics Podcast. You can get those in the same sources.
Can you listen to The Catholic Beef on Fridays during Lent?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do that.
I was just wondering. Yeah.
In fact, you're encouraged.
Don't eat it, but just listen to it.
Someone told me if I eat at Taco Bell on Friday, that's okay, because that's not really me.
I can't even believe that. I mean, I just had Taco Bell for the first time in months this past
weekend.
Did you
get heartburn?
Slightly. And I honestly can't believe that it is allowed to exist in New Mexico.
Yeah, right?
Because we live in like a land of good cuisine, good authentic cuisine.
We have the best Mexican food on the planet. You know, so it's true. And then there's Taco Bell.
I just can't believe it. Not to mention that it's frequented.
There's always a line of cars at the drive-thru.
Exactly.
So I pull up to the, I went there like a year ago, okay? So I go up to the Taco Bell. I'm super tired and I ordered like 3 Enchiladas or Enchimimas or whatever. Enchitacos, whatever they are. I don't even know what they are anymore, right? So I gave them the money, and then I drove home. I went home. I'm like, where's my food? I had to go back.
You're now like a stockholder in Taco Bell.
Yeah. So, gosh. All right, everybody. Talk to you next week.
All right, God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.